2 Corinthians chapter 10. I guess if I was to give a title for the message tonight, or it would be simply, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use all of us. He wants to use us with what we are, where we are, what God has given us. Some time back, as I was in a preacher's meeting, 2009, that's a while back, the Lord gave me a simple outline here for this, the message here, and I put it a little together, but I've not preached it, so tonight we are going to preach it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there's several verses in here verses 3, 4, and 5 are special verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity. And that's the key right there. You need to bring things into captivity, every thought to obedience of Christ. Tonight, I want to focus on verses 12 through verse 18. Simple as the four-point outline here, but one of the main things in the message simply is, don't compare yourself with others. Here in our text, verse 9 and 10, that I may not seem as if I were terrified by you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Apparently here, Paul was not at this point, a really powerful, dynamic speaker. He wasn't one that just let it rip and, had a lot. And this verse is pretty much saying the word contemptible means that he wasn't much. He wasn't much at all, nothing, pretty much. That's what contemptible means here. Not much, nothing to count for. What we would say pretty much today, nothing to write home about. You know how you go hear about, man, this preacher's coming to town, we got to go hear him preach? Well, that's what people would say at this point with Paul. Oh, that Paul, he's a dull speaker. He's nothing, But he was a pretty good lecturer. He was a good debater aspect. But later, as Paul went on and he became, and you hear Philippians and others where he became more bold and was not ashamed of the gospel, and he just got more and more into it. Paul might not have been a great speaker at this point, but he did answer the call of God on his life. Amen? And because of that, God used him greatly. Paul reminds me a lot with Moses, could not speak greatly. But Paul, just like God used Moses a lot, God used Paul too. Paul advanced Christianity greater than anybody, I believe, than the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in the Roman Empire. Paul might not have been much, might not had much, but I think little is much when God's in it, amen? And that's a lot to say with Paul, because God, you could see the power of God on his life. What made Paul so great? What made Paul so usable? I really think some of the greatest thing I see with Paul is Paul was greatly used because of his obedience to God's calling, his willingness to be used, his willingness to go and to be used. I think of the 3 D's, or you could say 4 D's, however you want to think about it, his desire, his dedication, his determination, his devotion, all these D's that Paul had in his life that just made him greatly used of God. Looking at verse 12 through verse 18, I have a four-point outline that I want to speak about. Then we're going to turn to another passage and look at a couple other things. Verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. First thing I want to point out tonight is in your service, in your serving God and being used of God, learn not to measure yourself with others. Learn not to measure yourself with yourself. Amen? You know, we can look at others, and sometimes we can measure up good. I mean, you can measure, look at me, you can look at you and compare yourself to me, and you can measure up pretty good. But we're not the ones that we need to compare ourselves to. We don't need to compare ourselves to each other. We need to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Him, I don't care how much service you're doing, we all come short. But don't measure yourself by yourself. Don't measure yourself with others. Look, you can look good. I can look good when we compare ourselves to ourselves or to others. But measure ourselves. Measure yourself up to what God's standards, what God wants. You can see how they said become not wise. You know, measuring themselves up and thinking, man, look what I am doing. Look at the gifts I got. Well, I am such a blessing to the church. I'm such, or how about, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Don't measure yourself. God wants to use you. And if you're comparing yourself and in the competition aspect of it, it's going to be hard to be used. Number two in verses 13 and 14, and I really like seeing with these verses, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Point number two I see here in verse 13 and 14. Learn to accept your ministry. Learn to accept the ministry that God has put you in as your God-given ministry. You know, if God has called you to teach Sunday school, then teach, give it your all. Amen? Do it your best. Give it all that you can. Just strive. Don't, okay, wake up Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and okay, let me get dressed, get ready, and go, oh yeah, maybe I should, while I'm having my cup of coffee, look at this for a little bit. No, put time in it. Put the effort in it. Let's learn to accept your ministry as a God-given ministry. God has called you to that ministry. God has put you in that ministry. Then give it your best. Do your best. If you're a church cleaner, then clean those toilets the best you can. Spick and span. Make them shine that you can see your face in it or something. Give it your best. Do your best. The Sunday school teaching, junior church, working in the nursery. God has a gift. God has given you a gift. God has given you gifts. Know what your gifts are. Know where God wants you to be used. There is a, let me just plug this right in right now. I'll say it again later. Just again. If you're not involved in a ministry, if you're not doing a ministry in the local church, then I really don't believe you're doing totally God's will for your life. Because there is a ministry, there is a job within the church that God has for everybody. And there is scripture in Corinthians talking about helping and doing and being involved. And the ministry is not all that it can be if there's some people sitting on the sidelines, sitting on the bleachers, sitting in the benches or the pews, and doing nothing. God has a ministry within the church for every one of us. God maybe has 2 ministries, 3 ministries, 4 ministries for you to do. Make sure, well, you get overworked with it. Sometimes you do. But if God has called you to the ministry, God will give you the strength, the power, the might to be able to do the ministry. If you have called yourself to that ministry, and you're doing that ministry because you're doing it, because you want to do it, and God hasn't called you, it will not prosper. It might see some fruits, but it ain't going to prosper like it ought to be if the wrong person is doing it, if you're not God called you. But if God has called you, God will give you the strength, the might, the ability to do it. So take your ministry, what ministry you're doing in this church, and say, hey, God has called me to this ministry. It's the John and Roman ministry. And I am going to give it to the best that I can. God has called me into that nursery, and man, I'm going to be the best nursery worker I can be. I'm going to do the death ministry the best I can. Play the piano. I'm going to clean the church. I'm going to cook the Wednesday night dinners the best I can. Because God has called me in that ministry. It is my ministry that he has put me in, and I'm going to give it and do my best with it. Learn to accept the ministry as God-given ministry to you. See if God has called you to that ministry. Has he had? Put your hands to the plow of it and just go, 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 go. Just keep going and working with it. And it goes right into point number 3 in verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other man's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged according to our rule abundantly. Learn to increase your ministry. Increase your ministry. Make your ministry grow. Do more in that ministry of yours that God has called you. You know, you're giving your 100%. Well, strive to give 105, 110. You're doing this. Well, try a little bit. God will give you the strength. Yes, I do believe and I do know because I've been there. There's that time you do need a break. You need to come aside. You need to have that haven of rest. Come aside for a little bit and get rested up. Have that little vacation. But don't overdo it, because then you'll stay over there and Satan will get, oh, this feels good, this is good. But yes, we do need to come aside. We need to rest a little bit at times. But get back into it. Get back on there and get going and do it the best you can and learn, try to enlarge your ministry that God has called you to do. Enlarge it. Make it bigger. Make it better for his glory. And it brings us right into point number 4 in the last 3 verses of our text. Learn to glorify God in your ministry, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to your hand. Don't worry about other people. Worry, do what you can. Verse 17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Do your ministry, your God-given called ministry, to the best of your ability. Do it all to his glory. Give your best. Do your best for the master. As I look at these 4 things here about don't learn not to measure yourself with others or compare yourself with others, learn to accept that the ministry that God has called you as this is my ministry and I'm going to take it and I'm going to do the best job I can. Learn to enlarge your ministry and learn to give God, glorify God with the ministry. It makes me think of a prayer, Jabez. You all know Jabez in the Bible? Anybody? Everybody? Some? We got time. I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I think of the prayer of Jabez. Jabez, you know, very little is mentioned about him. He's just an ordinary man. Honestly, not much is said about him. But if you look at verse 9, verse 10, mainly verse 10 we look at. Verse 9 tells us he's an honorable man. Verse 10, Jabez called unto God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. It is a prayer for blessing. Jabez wanted to be blessed indeed. He wanted God to bless his ministry, bless his life, Do you want God to bless your ministry, bless your life? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. If you don't know the verse, look it up. Put it into practice. Number one, Lord, bless me indeed. Number two, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. It's a prayer to grow, make my job, make my ministry bigger and better for your glory. He wasn't content to what he had. He wasn't content for what he was doing. He wanted to do more for his master. He wanted more. And like we should be praying, Lord, give me greater opportunities. Help me, Lord, to do the best I can. Enlarge my coasts. Number three, it says, and thy hand might be with me. And that thy hand might be with me is a biblical phrase about the hand of God, about having the power of God on your life. A lot of us do our job, do our ministries in the flesh. And a lot of times, and even before I get up here and pastor, of course, Lord, just empty myself out of myself. I don't want to get up here and preach in my own power and my own might. I want your power, your might. When I teach Sunday school or junior church or do other ministries, Lord, I don't want to do it in my own might. I want to do it in your might, in your power. Set me aside and Lord, work through me and within me. And may you be glorified. And in verse 3, the third part of the verse here, Lord, that thy hand might be with me. Jabez wanted God's power in his life. Do you want God's power, God's might in your ministry? Ask for it. Number four, the last part of the verse, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That's a prayer of safety, a prayer of protection. Lord, protect me. Lord, protect me in this ministry. May I be pleasing. May I be honoring to you with this ministry. I could go on a lot more, but I want to move on and discuss a couple other things real quick. We all have been given gifts. We got abilities, amen? And some people have some wonderful talent around here. God knows, God gave it to you. God knows what you're capable of doing. So I ask you, do you know your gifts? Do you know what your gifts are? Over in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, it gives us the list of gifts. It's the gifts of prophecy, the gift of ministry, which is a gift of serving, a gift of teaching, a gift of exhortation, giving, the gift of ruling, which is administration, and the gift of mercy. Do you know what your gifts are? Are you using your gifts in the ministry here at Friendship Baptist Church? I believe God has given each of us a gift. I believe God has given us a few gifts, a couple gifts. I think it's primary gifts. I think they're secondary gifts. I think part of me want to believe that really we have all the gifts. We have a part of all the gifts. And we got to learn how to grow them in our lives and to be able to use them more. I'll give you an example. I mean, in my own life, I believe some of my gifts would be administration and a gift of serving. You know, that would be my high gift. And then exhortation right there behind them. Teaching and prophecy. My lower gifts, well, my wife's here, so my kids are here. Probably my lowest gifts, some of my lower gifts would have been, there used to be a huger gap, a bigger gap. But over the years now, I think the gaps have shrinking up a little bit. At least I want to believe so. But, you know, some of my worst gifts would be probably mercy. Mercy consists of what? Having compassion, being long-suffering. But, you know, I agree I have not arrived, and I'm a work in progress. God is working on me. I have not arrived. I still need to learn more compassion, more about suffering, long-suffering, more about giving and doing for others, more and more. But I'm a work. in progress. We're all a work in progress. But we still need to strive and need to work on what God has given us. We can't set to the side and say, well, once I master this, once I get this down, then I'll do it. Because you never will. God has given us people in our life to help encourage us, to help us. I mean, I can learn myself to be more of an encourager. You know, wait 1 second. Just about right. Look at the glass. Is it half full, half empty? They didn't call me Bill Negative Case for nothing. It's half empty. Not half full, half empty. I looked on the negative side a lot, and that's where I picked up the college, Bill Negative Case a lot. Still lean that side a little bit, but I think I try to say I'm more, you know, think of reality more. But anyway, God is still working on me. Okay, enough about me. God wants us to serve. God wants us to be involved in ministry. What is your ministry? If you're not sure what your gifts are, you know, stop at the office. Give us a call. We have test booklets that you could take the gifts test and see where God has gifted you. You know, ask pastor for it, call the secretary, get a hold of Melissa, and we'll give you it, and you can see where you are. God wants to use you. The question is, will you let him use you? For him to use you, you need to have a surrender life. You need to have a life that's consecrated and say, Lord, here am I. Take me and use me. You know, well, I can't do it. Well, I have said, God has called. I mean, look at who God has called and who God has used. Moses, he had a stuttering problem. David, when he was a young boy, the armor didn't fit him. But he still went out and slew that giant. John Mark, he rejected Paul. He turned and left. But later on, he turned back and God used him. Young Timothy, as he grew older, he had ulcers. He had a worrying problem, nervous. Hosea, he had a wife that was a prostitute and God used him. Amos, he had no organized training. Only thing Amos really knew what to do, it said in the Bible, is that he knew how to prune trees, fig trees, how to prune fig trees. Jacob, God used Jacob. What's Jacob known for? Deceiver, supplanter, a liar? God used Jacob. Again, God used David. David had an affair. David was a murderer, but God used him. Abraham. Abraham was too old, some would say. Abraham himself, but God still used Abraham in his older age. David, too young. Peter was afraid of death, but God used him. John was self-righteous, but God used him. Naomi was a widow, and God used her. Paul was a murderer. Moses also a murderer. God used them. Jonah ran from God, but God used Jonah. God used Miriam, and Miriam was a gossiper. God used Gideon and Thomas, and we both know they were doubters. God used Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No. Jeremiah was depressed. Jeremiah was a depressed man. God still used him. Elijah, God used Elijah greatly, and Elijah was burned out. God used John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was a loudmouth. He used Martha, a worrywart. God used Mary. Some thought Mary, especially Martha, that Mary was lazy. Jesus, will you just tell her to... Samson, God used Samson. Samson had long hair. God used Noah. Noah got drunk. God used Moses. Moses had a short fuse. So did Peter. So did Paul. And so did a few others. God used people. Just got to be willing to be used. God doesn't require a job interview. He doesn't hire and fire like most bosses. because he's more like our father than a boss. He doesn't look at what financial gain you will bring to him. He's not prejudiced or partial. He's not judging or grudging. He's not sassy or brassy. He's not deaf to your cry nor blind to your need. God wants to use you. Will you be used of God? Will you let him use you? Satan will say you're not worthy. Jesus says, so what? I am worthy. Satan will say, look at your mistakes. God just simply looks back and sees the cross, but Jesus died for you. He doesn't calculate all that you have done wrong to throw it in your face. God wants, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. God wants to use you. Will you let God use you? In closing, we have a lot of different ministries, a lot of different opportunities to serve. There's a lot of different ministries here, and we need users. We need helpers. Nursery, Sunday school, junior church helpers, subs, bus ministry. Matter of fact, I need help with the bus this coming Sunday. I need people to do it because I can't do the bus ministry and be here at 8:30 and preach. I can't do both. So I need someone to help get some kids, or we won't have no kids here on Sunday. So if you want to help me with driving vans this Sunday, I will give you some kids to pick up. We need church cleaners. We need Wednesday night cooks. Mr. Gamet wants to eat on Wednesday night. So we need some people to sign up to cook because I can't cook every Wednesday. Anyway, we need cooks. We need John and Roman workers. We need soul winners. We need people to go out visitation, visit some of the shut-ins, visit others, do others. If you have never taken a spiritual test, take it. See what your ministries are. Get involved. If you have a talent, if you have a gift, and you're not using it, you're letting it go unused, and the devil's getting the glory. Don't wait for us to come ask you to put you in a ministry. Come tell us. Pray and ask God what you can do. And come share with us how you want to help our ministry to enlarge. To enlarge your ministry. Maybe you're doing a ministry or two. Maybe there's something else you could do. Let's do it all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord God, for the evening. I do thank you, Lord, for the message that you laid upon my heart. And Heavenly Father, I do pray that it was an encouragement, it was a help to others. And Lord, if there's some in here that really do not know what their gift or gifts are not really involved in the ministry here, I pray, God, that they will get involved. They'll find out what their gifts are and get plugged in and get be used of your for your kingdom here. And abound your kingdom, enlarge the ministry for your glory and honor. Bless now the rest of the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Bill?